So I am Linnea Zimmerman, and I'm going to be discussing the work that came up from many of our partners. We developed a consortium who are interested in the topic of sexual and reproductive health of adolescents in humanitarian emergencies, and so that includes the Women's Refugee Commission, Johns Hopkins, Adolescent Reproductive Health Network in Thailand, IMC, Save the Children, and the American University of Beirut. So I'm really presenting for all of us. This was originally a question that was put forth by the CDC, is what are the sexual and reproductive health needs of adolescents in humanitarian emergencies? And we thought, okay, well, we're just going to do a survey and ask some 10-year-olds this question, and realized very, very quickly that that was not going to work. So this is really the story of sort of our original approach and what we actually ended up doing and our research methodology. So I won't be talking too much about our actual findings, but much more about the methods that we used and some of our initial findings and work from that. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So the learning objectives of this presentation, I'm going to focus mostly on the first one, which is explaining the participatory research methods that we ended up using. So we worked with 10 to 14-year-olds and 15 to 16-year-olds, as well as parents and service providers in three different settings, and so we used a variety of methods. Then I'll also talk about some of the unique needs and risks that are faced by early adolescents, and so we define very young adolescents as 10 to 14, and particularly following humanitarian emergencies or conflicts, and then discuss how interventions and settings of insecurity that would help address these needs and risks. That is the one that I will discuss the least, because primarily we spent most of our time really working on the first and second objectives here, trying to figure out the best way to really establish the unique needs and risks of this population. So these are the research questions that sort of guided our analysis. What are the perceived sexual and reproductive health risks and needs of very young adolescents? How has displacement affected the transition from young adolescents into later adolescence and adulthood? And what type of help is available for 10 to 14-year-olds? So for this last point, we did sort of a traditional sort of landscaping of our three sites, which I'll just discuss in a minute, but Ethiopia, Lebanon, and Thailand, where we just did focus groups and key informant interviews with service providers to get a sense of what adolescent reproductive health needs were and what was already available. And by and large, very few. It's definitely not a focus in humanitarian emergencies, and most of our service providers said that they either did not provide or did not feel equipped to provide adolescent sexual and reproductive health programs. So that was essentially the in sum of that last bullet point. Our project was undertaken, we did three stages. Our first was the landscaping that I just described, and we did do that in Ethiopia, Lebanon, and Thailand. Our second stage, which is what I will mostly focus on, is our participatory qualitative research methods, and that was undertaken in each of our three sites, and I'm going to discuss those methods a little bit more, but those qualitative findings then went forth to drive our quantitative survey, which we undertook in Ethiopia and Thailand, but due to security concerns did not implement in Lebanon because it was a much more active and ongoing conflict. So in Ethiopia, we implemented the project with IMC in Dolo Ado and among in Kobe refugee camp among Somali refugees living in Ethiopia. In Lebanon, we worked in the Bekaa Valley, where there are obviously over a quarter of a million Syrian refugees at this time, potentially more now. And then in Thailand, we worked in Thak province with the Adolescent Reproductive Health Network, which is a consortium of Thai and Burmese service providers who specialize in adolescent and reproductive health. These were primarily Burmese migrant workers as opposed to forced migration from a humanitarian emergency, although many of them have been in Thailand for over 20 years. So we used a variety of methods, and the first one, as I said, our first instinct was to go in and do a focus group with 10-year-olds, and then we realized that you can't ask the sort of complex questions of what is unmet need to a 10-year-old that has absolutely no meaning. And in the same sense, you can't really get 8 10-year-olds in a room to focus on a focus group discussion for an hour or 2 hours. So we really had to readjust both our framework and our methods, and so we decided to focus on two different qualitative methods that we used: photo elicitation and community mapping. So photo elicitation We used different photographs that were taken within each context. So this top photograph here was taken in Kobe refugee camp, and the one below was taken in Thailand. And there were different photographs. We used groups of girls and boys alone, together, mixed, going to school, at school. We had pictures of a house or pictures of a family, and we used a structured interview guide to ask, we asked the very young adolescents to describe the photographs for us. What did they think that these boys and girls, where were they going, what were they doing, what were their hopes, dreams, challenges, et cetera. And so we got a sense from that of how these younger adolescents really conceptualized their world, and then the challenges that they themselves identify. Then we also used a process called community mapping, where we had them draw maps of their camp or their neighborhood, however they described their community, and then on those maps identify places they felt safe or unsafe, where they would go for information, where they would go for their daily tasks, where they spent most of their time. And we developed from these sort of, it's a little hard to see, but these community maps. So here, the red and the yellow would indicate places they feel safe or unsafe. And so from that, you can get a sense of just where youth are going and where they're getting their information. And then we also did do focus group discussions with 15 to 16-year-olds because we felt that some of these concepts, pregnancy intention and those kind of things, they are relevant, especially for 14-year-olds, but it's not something that can easily be articulated. So we did ask older adolescents to reflect back on that time and see if they could discuss sort of their feelings, which, of course, is not ideal, but we're able to get more information about some of those sort of higher-level sexual concepts that we couldn't necessarily ask from 12-year-olds. And then we did use those to conduct a quantitative survey based on the results. So what are the risks and needs? This is based solely on our qualitative work right now. Not unsurprisingly, most of what was told to us was not about sexual and reproductive health needs. Most of the youth were concerned about poverty, being forced to work, limited access to school. A theme in all of our sites was not being able to go to school. School is a high priority for youth. They really attach a lot of value to it, and so being forced to stay home or not being able to go to school was a very large concern. And physical violence was also a pressing concern. But the ways in which boys and girls expressed that concern about violence was different. Particularly in Ethiopia, girls expressed that they were afraid of rape or forced sex within the context of marriage, while boys specifically feared more organized violence, such as in this setting from Al-Shabaab. So it was more of the sort of organized group violence that they feared versus maybe the one-on-one kind of targeted or random violence, such as bullying or something like that. In Lebanon, both boys and girls reported that they feared kidnapping, and in Thailand, girls specifically reported fear of trafficking. Something that we did not really anticipate, but that came out particularly strongly in both the qualitative and the quantitative, was menstrual hygiene needs, particularly in Ethiopia. For young girls, as they transition from adolescence to adulthood, this is obviously a very critical time, and while some information might be available to girls, the actual commodities, particularly in Ethiopia, were not. So there was not a single girl in a Kobe refugee camp who reported access to soap and water, private facilities, and pads or cloths. So there were girls who reported access to one or two of those things, but no girl had access to all of those things. The majority of girls in Thailand did report access to all of those, but even there were still many girls who did not have access to all three of those things. And then access to information about puberty, pregnancy, and overall health varied across all of the sites. But something that did stand out was mothers. Mothers are a critical source of information for boys and girls. That this is where they get information about puberty, about development, about pregnancy. Whether or not that information is accurate, we really have no way of knowing because we just asked, where do you get your information? And it came out very strongly that it was mothers that provided that important information to them. But that wasn't always the preferred source of information. In Thailand, teachers and healthcare providers were preferred, whereas in Ethiopia, it was friends and siblings. Particularly older siblings and older sisters were important sources of information for girls. What are the interventions to address the needs? Well, we don't necessarily have those interventions yet, but what we did find is it is very important is to involve parents, and particularly mothers, in programs to build knowledge about puberty and adolescence. And programming to address sexual and reproductive health needs of very young adolescents should consider continued education of children and adults, and that includes service providers. Service providers in general felt that they just were not equipped, particularly to deal with this very young population. And so they requested more information, more programs to help them develop their own abilities. And finally, again, like what really stood out to us was that the traditional sexual and reproductive health framework that we use in this field may not necessarily fit well within both very young adolescents and within a humanitarian emergency. Concerns about sexual and reproductive health, pregnancy, fertility intentions, those aren't things that 10-year-olds will have necessarily pressing on their minds in the same way that they have about healthy growth and development, whether what they're experiencing is normal, whether they have the information available to them that they need to be comfortable and confident in their body changes. And so concerns need to span more than just sexual and reproductive health into healthy growth and development, protection from risks, enhancing knowledge of emerging sexuality and gender roles, and that both quantitative and qualitative methods need to be adapted to better engage youth. And these are special thanks to all of our participants and communities, and our implementing organizations, and funding for this project was provided by the CDC.